Hello, everyone. I'm about half ready today. Oh, I didn't sleep good last night. My boys are out of town. And so I ended up oversleeping just a tad this morning. I normally get up around like 4 or 5 in the morning. I got up at 7:15, but I'm traveling today, so I knew I needed some rest. So I decided to go ahead and let myself sleep. Well, that just blows my whole morning. Grin. It's very much a creature of habit. So let me get, hang on, Kathy, I'm trying to pull you up, but Zoom is acting like a donkey butt. Okay, Kathy's going to be on stage with me today. We are going to be, she'll be in the Q&A answering questions if you have them. We are going to be kicking off our deep dive into the basics. So, like, literally this month, we are going to get our shit together on all things the four basics. So if you're here and you're like, what's that? What are the four basics? Because it's, trust me, there are people who do not know what they are. I think sometimes when we take the No BS course, you hear me talking about doable hunger and you hear me talking about planning and stuff like that, but it never makes the connection that those are the four basics. But those, when it comes to sleep, water, your doable plan, and doable hunger, asking yourself, are you hungry? Have you had enough? Those are the four tenets of weight loss for us. Like everything else springs from that. So, like when you think about No BS, we do doable hunger. We eat when we're hungry and we stop it enough to learn what are all the shitty reasons why we do eat. Because anytime I want to eat outside of that, anytime I want to finish my food, anytime I want to partake because everybody else is. There's something emotionally going on. And I just want to make this clarification. Just because you have an emotional reason to keep eating does not mean you are an emotional shit show eater. So a lot of you have a little bit of fear, a little bit of, I don't know, what's the word? Discern. No, that's not it. I don't know. Let's say fear, scared shitless, those kinds of things about admitting that you're an emotional eater. And what we do, and we're going to do this at journaling camp on the very first day. Let me just kind of explain to y'all a concept that I'll teach there, but everybody can benefit from. When we think about our feelings, like fear, when we think about, or even like a term like emotional eater, things like that. Your brain lights up with thoughts. So when you get into module two of No BS, here's what happens. In module one, we really hammer your basics. And then in module two, we start talking about now that you're doing all this, when you don't eat for some reason, when you have to stop eating, when you need to follow your plan, when you break your plan, there's a reason behind it all the time. And that reason is the moment that happens. So your brain is like giving you commands. Your brain is like, thinking about things. So I want you to all just take, I actually was thinking about y'all this morning in the shower. I don't know how I got on this topic in my shower, but this is what I want to tell you. So I want you to think about like everybody right now, what is it that you think when you think emotional eater? And let me put my glasses on. Y'all know I can't see some fucking shit without them. Somebody type in the chat. What do you think? Out of control. What else? Binger, weak, not wanting to feel, food addict, numbing, no thoughts. Gina, even no thoughts is a thought. I don't know. Fuck it. Excuse maker. All right. So I want you to think about that. If we're trying to figure out how to be someone who emotionally eats on purpose versus a reactive emotional eater. Now, what do you think? Do you think, like, what? There is a difference? What's that mean? Because let me tell you, being an emotional eater is what every human being is. The moment you come out of your mama's wahoo, One of the first things they do after they clean your nasty ass up a little bit is they slap you on the boob because you be crying and they need, and you need food. The first connection you make after a few breaths on this planet is that food soothes. Food feels good. Food is safe. So for all of you who are like, oh, it means I'm weak. Oh, it means I'm a binger. It means all these things. We have to develop a better relationship to the things that we just are naturally. Because if in your mind, and we're going to talk about this on day one of camp, in your mind, if you have an aggressive, resistant, and negative attitude about emotional eating, you will sabotage yourself. All the, it will look like this. This is what sabotage will look like. Not doing discovery worksheets. Who the hell wants to do a discovery worksheet when it's just a sheet of shame? You will not want to ask yourself, I wonder why I did eat last night. I wonder what was going on in my head. I know I wasn't hungry. I wonder what I was looking for. You won't be curious. You know what you'll be? Trying to escape figuring out why you're eating because you equate every single emotional eat to being bad. And that can't happen. We are all emotional eaters. Every human that breathes eats emotionally. What we want to do is we want to become decisive emotional eaters. When are the times that it matters? Just like this weekend, for the next 8 days, I'm traveling straight. And the first part is business. In the middle, I am going to Vegas with Chris. I'm planning some food that I love. Why am I having it? For the emotion of it. To have fun, to connect. I want to do it. But what most of us doing, we're doing emotional eating because we aren't meeting other emotional needs in our life. And so as you're going through the basics this month, the reason why this is so important is because as you go through the basics this month and we dial in again and we tighten up and we get really aware, we are not just turning on the spotlight to your hunger and enough cues. We will also be spotlighting all the times that you're eating for a reason other than this is truly the lifestyle I want to build for myself. In this moment, having these Oreos matters. I rarely get to have Oreos with my granddaughter on a Sunday afternoon, just the two of us. So I really want y'all to be thinking about for this month, I need to have a really good attitude about what I'm fixing to see. If I beat myself up over all of it, I will quit in the middle of the month. I will stop paying attention. I won't listen to the replays. I won't come to the calls. I won't do any of the shit Corinne says. I won't raise my hand and ask a question. This month, as much as it is about getting really good and understanding our basics, it on the other side must bring up all of the things that we're eating over. And that's really good information. We need that stuff. Because if we're ever going to lose our weight for good, if we're ever going to keep it off, we have to have a relationship with ourselves that says, because I want you to think about in maintenance, the main reason why most people have regains is because the second they're not doing things right, they turn off watching it because they start making it mean I'm out of control. I'm regaining my weight. This is bad. If you don't have a good relationship with your habits on, and I don't mean doing them perfectly, a good relationship with watching your habits, examining your habits, being curious about your habits, and being there for yourself while you figure it out, you're not only going to probably sabotage your weight loss, but you'll for sure sabotage your maintenance. So this month, yes, we are going to dive into the basics and we are going to understand them. But for some of you, this month is about learning how to talk to yourself, because you're supposed to see, whenever we dive right back into our basics, hardcore, we're supposed to see the moments that it's hard, the moments where it's real urgy. We're supposed to see the moments that we don't follow through. We're supposed to see the moments that we sexy talk ourselves right into eating. We're supposed to see the moments that we miss. Like this month, you're probably going to catch yourself at the end of the bag of Cheetos. And instead of beating yourself up, say like, good. This month's work is noticing when I'm eating the Cheetos, trying to find a time when I'm eating in the middle of it and having enough love, courage, and patience to put the bag away saying, good to know I caught myself eating when I hadn't planned that. That will be your next step in weight loss. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play the video. And I'm going to warn all of you. Corinne hasn't done this in a while. Y'all have to tell me in the chat when I get it going, if it sounds okay, because there's a trick to doing it. And I'm going to have to go by memory to make sure. I'm going to answer some questions and then we'll get back to video time. All right. I'm not showing up for myself. I make my plan, but then I go off of it all the time. So Delaney, I love how we like to describe that as I'm not showing up for myself. That's called dramatic. That's not showing up for yourself. That also means I'm making my plan every day. Good for me. I've got reasons why I'm not following the plan. Good for me on knowing that. I should probably figure out why I don't want to follow the plan. This has nothing to do with me not showing up for myself. Here's how I know. How many of you wake up every day and be like, I'm making my plan. Let me try to make a plan that sabotages my day. You know what I really want to do today? I want to see how many ways I can fuck thyself. First up, make a plan I'm not going to follow. Are y'all actually doing that? If somebody's doing that, I'd love to coach you. If that is your morning ritual, but if that's your morning ritual, at least the fuck you're choosing to do that, you probably like it. So let's not tell ourselves that I'm not showing up for myself. If you start following your plan, then you know what that means? You've uncovered the things you needed to uncover so that you can follow your plan. It doesn't mean that you somehow got morally better, that you became an awesome person for yourself. All of you are already awesome people. Whether you follow a plan or not does not make you the most awesome ever. It just means you're now a plan follower. That means you figured some shit out. It means it's going to be a little easier to lose weight, but that doesn't make you a better person. So it's not because I'm not planning enough. I just found myself eating stuff that is not on the plan. So that's even a better thought. I love how like that's the thought we want to go with. I make my plan. I'm going off of it. And what I've noticed is I'm finding myself eating stuff that's not on the plan. Sometimes I don't realize I'm doing it. That just means it's habit. So one of the things that we teach inside of the No BS Module 1 is there are different types of eating, y'all. There is habit eating, there is emotional eating, and there's mindless eating. So I'll break it down for you because I'm not 100% sure we're going to get to the videos. So habit eating is where it's very similar to when you always eat breakfast. You just eat breakfast every day. You're in the routine of it. Let's say you're a teacher. A lot of teachers are going to have habit eating. And that's like some habit eating is good. Not all, like it's just like not all emotional eating is bad. Not all habit eating is bad. Not all mindless eating is bad. So we just want to get to where we understand types of eating we're doing. So some other habit eating is like a lot of times when people come into NoBS, they are timed eaters. They eat by the clock. So let's say you're a teacher. Right now it's teacher time. And you're like, oh, how am I going to eat when I'm hungry? Jesus Christ, take the wheel. Because I got a schedule now. So the fuck what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to become a habit eater for a little while. If you know you are not going to be hungry for breakfast, but your ass don't get lunch till 1:20 in the afternoon, guess what you do? You eat breakfast and you eat to enough. And guess what? When you start eating before you're hungry, it won't take much to get to enough. And that will be sustainable until 1:20. And then you will also become an intentional eater, which means you're going to watch your ass for a few weeks. And if your breakfast is too much, you dial it back. And if after a few weeks you realize, oh no, when I first eat in the morning, it doesn't get me to 1:20 and I'm about ready to chew my arm off at 1:20. Guess what we do? We eat a little bit more food. Simple as that. Y'all don't overcomplicate this shit. Our job is to become an intentional eater and like our reasons and it work for us. So we are going to have habit eating sometimes. But Delaney is saying, like, I don't even know what's happening. This is called mindless eating. Mindless eating is like it doesn't even register. It's so automatic to pop food in our mouth when we're making dinner. It's so automatic to grab a little bit of your partner's French fries when you go out to eat. It's so automatic to, if you're at work and you pass somebody's desk who keeps candy, that you just grab a couple. Because you've done it so many times, your brain has put it into the automatic system. And we need our brain to do those things. Because you do not want to be at work every day and you need to have a 10-minute conversation with yourself on whether or not you're going to have chocolate or not. So our brain is always automating so that you actually can do life. Now, mindless eating is not a problem. When we start making a plan, you've already gone into the first phase of awareness. It's like, now I notice here's the times I'm falling for this reason, and here's the times I'm not falling, and this is for this reason, and for this reason. That's why we start with planning first, and that's why we track, because we need to know the types of eating we're doing. So with mindless eating, the way that we get it out of the subconscious and the way we get it out of like this, like just rote pattern that we're into, is first, we have to notice after we've done it, what's happened. And the most critical step there is in the moment when you notice that it's already happened, your brain is going to want to go ham on yourself like an asshole. Oh my God, something's wrong with me. I don't even know when I'm eating. I ain't ever gonna lose weight being like this. I must be the broke ass soul and no BS. No. We want to, in that moment, when you want to go hard on yourself, you have to say, like, wait a minute. Corinne said, this is a step towards getting this back into the consciousness. When you are a mindless eater and sometimes a habitual eater, your brain has done its job. It has put it on automatic loop. And now we have to pull it back out of automatic loop. And the next phase of that is going to be not beating yourself up when it's identified. Because if you beat yourself up, then your brain thinks, you know what? Figuring out all this shit around food is threatening. That's dangerous. She feels awful. She talks like a damn bitch. Like, so let's not pay attention. Could we go further back into the subconscious, please? You do not want to teach your brain to tuck your habits further and further back to protect them from you. All of you. I've never quite said it that way, but it's so true. And that's why, like, when we do the basics and we turn the light on all this stuff, if you're beating yourself up in any way and you don't stop the beatdowns and start appreciating, like, I have to learn these things, then your brain wants to hide from you because you are now the biggest threat known to man. You're the saber-toothed tiger. You're the hungry puma charging the bush. So the next step is we have to be like, I'm glad I caught this. So let me do a discovery worksheet And let me see if there's anything I can figure out on how to get aware that I'm doing it faster, sooner, and quicker. And then what happens for all of you is not, well, the next time this never happens again. No. For all of you who are like, well, like I realize that life is eating. I'm not too big. I can't wait anymore. No, that is not how it works. Y'all have to quit being toddlers about this process has to be a dead stop on all your fucking behaviors to lose weight. That is not the case. I promise all of you, if you start noticing something and it takes you 3 weeks to unwind it so that you know when you're mindless eating and you can just stop it, that 3 weeks is a fucking blip in the time and the lifespan of you and losing weight. And the more you get to where, like, sometimes, like, phases of change, you know, like, at first we're just noticing and then sometimes we're doing it and sometimes we're not. As long as we keep making progress, your ass is losing weight the whole time. But your ass doesn't lose weight when you, the first time you try something, it doesn't work and you go back to beat downs and then stop paying attention. That's the path to not losing weight. And that's the path we got to quit going down. So let me finish reading. I didn't even get all the way through Delaney. Sorry, Delaney. I'm really going around. Sometimes I don't realize it. And last night I woke up in the middle of the night and the first thought was, you're not doing what you need to do to lose weight. I know what needs to be done, but I'm not doing it. You are doing, like, such a lie. I love how you just believed your brain. It's like you're making plans, you're showing up to calls, and you're asking questions. What else the fuck are you supposed to be doing? Like, if you laid there and said, you know what, I'm wrong about this. I am working on it. I'm just not following my plans yet. Your ass would probably go back to sleep. Or at least it would sit there and think about, like, things you could do in order to start following your plans. All right, let me check from my team, see if we got this video up yet. Because the one I don't know. Yasmin, I'm going to tell y'all right now. I clicked on the link from yesterday, dropped that shit over here. It didn't give me the one we were looking for. All right, let me get into Finder. I got to make the moves, y'all. All right, I got to copy. Y'all are just getting to watch all my tech skills on display. I'm just telling you right now, it's like, where is Chris Crabtree when I need him? It's going to take a minute. This is a longer video than the other ones, obviously. Let me get rid of those. All right, let's go to another question. We'll get this all sorted out. All right, yesterday I didn't make a plan, and last night I found myself thinking, ooh, I didn't make a plan, so I can eat whatever I want. I find that I often don't want what's on my plan. What do I do? Well, in that moment, you tell yourself, it doesn't matter if I made a plan or not. I still have a brain that knows what I probably would have planned. I actually know probably what is going to be a decent choice for me to lose weight. That's all you do in that moment. Like, that thought is not a problem. I like how y'all are always like, oh, problem thought. Now what do I do? Like, I stumped you. No, you didn't stump me. None of you can stump me. Not a soul. Here's the deal. If you didn't make a plan and you wake up, like, you're going into the evening and I didn't make a plan, I can eat whatever I want. That is the moment where we pivot our brain. It's just like what I'm doing here. I just made a pivot today. I didn't sit here and be like, well, fuck, I'm going to have to cancel the call. Things didn't go perfect. You know what? You know what would have been amazing? Could y'all imagine for a hot second? If when I don't have the right videos, if I'd said, like, well, I didn't download the videos. I guess we don't have to do a call today. I'm going to go eat breakfast. Like, y'all, it is the same fucking shit. Same exact shit. Like, y'all do this all the time. There's all the time when y'all have to make choices because you didn't plan it or it didn't go the way you want. I don't know why y'all think that if you didn't make a plan that, like, well, you, when my brain offers that, why I don't just say, that's ridiculous. I know how to eat. I'm like 50 years old. I'm 30 years old. If you're over 18, you know how to make a choice. And then I find I often don't want what's on my plan. What do? You eat it anyway. Y'all, not wanting on what's on your plan is not a problem. That would be like going to work and your boss saying, I need you to do something else today. And you'd be like, well, I didn't want to do that. Like, I had a plan. Like, I don't really want to do that. So I'm just not, like, I think what I'll do is work on what I like. And, you know, good luck. Like, just think about this. For some reason, when it comes to following our food plan that we make for ourselves, that we do with our best intentions, and in the moment we don't want to, we're like, oh my God, there must be a problem. I'm not in the want phase. It's like, of course you don't want it. Your brain is just arguing for something. Figure out what it really wants. Here's the big secret for all of you. Figure out what the fuck your brain really wants. When your brain wants to switch your plan, it has nothing to do with the other food. It's what does the food represent? If I switch my plan, I get to feel what? And when I eat these things, I'm going to feel what? Like, I'm going to feel free. I'm going to feel more relaxed. I'm going to feel those. That's what you're really looking for. So what we want to do is we want to tap into what is the desire underneath it? Because we're never really desiring another food. We're really desiring whatever we think breaking our plan, changing gears, eating something else is going to do for us. And whatever that's going to do for us, then we have to start asking ourselves, how can I start getting that in other ways? Or do I even need that feeling right now? Like, sometimes y'all want to break your plans. You're like, it's rebel mode. And so rebel mode is where you are like, you can't tell me what to do. I should be able to eat whatever I want at night. I had a hard day. And so you want to break your plan. And so when you ask yourself, like, all right, what is it that I'm really wanting? You're like, I'm just wanting to rebel. Then we just have to calm ourselves down and say, like, bitch, what are you rebelling against? This was your fucking plan to begin with. You're like rebelling against you is not what we want to do. Where in our life are we wanting to rebel right now? Maybe there's conversations I'm not having. Maybe there's boundaries I'm not setting. Maybe there's actual things going on in my life. But no one's telling me what to eat. Like, I decided for me what to eat. That's not a have to. That's not anything. So we have to be really clear and figure out those desires. All right. We're going to try to watch the video this time. Let me share my screen. It takes a minute to download. And I'm going to try to download the other one, y'all, while... Oh, now I've got a bunch of them up here. I think it's this one. Let's see if I've got long hair. I feel like somebody should cue Kenny Rogers Through the Years at this point. Tell me the sound of the family.
Welcome to the No BS Weight Loss Course. This is the foundational course you'll come back to over and over again as you lose weight for the last damn time. Inside this course, I'll teach you a fresh, new way to lose weight that puts an end to old school dieting, like starving your ass off and giving up your favorite foods. You're currently in Module 1, the four basics of weight loss. The four basics will teach you a few things. First, you'll learn how to have intentionality with food. I'll teach you the doable 24-hour plan where you'll build an amazing relationship with yourself and food. Next, we're going back to the way Mother Nature intended us to eat by using our brain and our stomach as a guide. You'll learn how to make the doable hunger method the ace up your sleeve anytime you want to eat. And third, you'll learn that water isn't just some bullshit thing weight loss gurus talk about. It's a vital component to battling food urges, craving sweets when you're tired, and conquering faux hunger signals. And last, You'll learn why sleep is the best fat burner on the market. But I would be a douchebag weight loss coach if I didn't put your mind at ease before we dive into each basic. It's hard to do shit when your mind is racing with bullshit questions like, what if I fail? What if I go too slow? What if I don't do it right? And what if I don't understand? This is normal because deep down, you might be afraid this time will be like your last diet. Like me, you've done a bunch of diets that blew up in your face. Let me explain why this happens so that when your doubts come back, you'll be able to settle your nerves. First, it doesn't matter how many diets you failed before, no BS. The truth is your past diets can't influence what you eat today. The only thing that matters at your next meal is what you decide to eat today. And that decision can be based on what you want for your future instead of what you're afraid of from the past. So in the moments when the ghosts of diet past come haunting you, just remind yourself of this. Every single person that lost all their weight, including Corinne, failed every damn diet before no BS. So that means you aren't destined to fail. You are choosing to not let your past influence your choices today. Now, the second reason you may be nervous is that your past diets didn't teach you how to handle emotional eating. You see, there are three types of eating we'll cover in No BS. Mindless eating, emotional eating, and intentional eating. Traditional diets cut out your mindless eating. Mindless eating is easy to give up because we're not emotionally attached to it. Intentional eating is half-ass covered with traditional diets. You're told to follow the plan, which is part of intentionality, but you aren't taught how to do it joyfully and confidently. I'll teach you all about that in our later lessons because intentionality is how you create an amazing relationship with all foods. But traditional diets have completely failed you on the emotional eating front. You see, every diet, including No BS, requires eating less food. Traditional diets overly focus on starving rules and restrictions. They just take away the food you use to entertain and connect with others or to cope with and comfort yourself with. This leaves you with no way to feel better in those moments. You see, traditional diets have failed you instead of you failing them. This course will fill in all of the gaps. So take a deep breath because everything you thought was wrong with you is just not true. Now let's go over how to set yourself up for success. First, don't clean out your damn pantry, raid the vegetable section of the grocery store, or declare to your family that we're getting healthy. I challenge you to listen to the lessons in module one that explain how the four basics work, and then make changes as you finish each lesson. Next, decide how fast or slow you want to watch the videos in the No BS Weight Loss course. The whole course itself takes about 5 hours total. So it's easy to do this course over a weekend, or you can spread the lessons out over 30 days. Every week, you're going to get emails from me with suggested pacing of one module per week. Follow along if that's easy, or just go at your own damn best pace. Now, we have an awesome way to determine what kind of No BS learner you are going to be that has checklists based on your type inside this lesson. So just click on the button, how to get the most out of the No BS program. The first type of learner is our bottom line bitch. A bottom line bitch just wants to get it done and done with as little work as possible because they're busy. You have a lot going on in life and you don't need all the bells and whistles that this program offers. Your focus is the course and leaving all of the live calls, the Facebook group and other features alone for right now. The next learner is our moderation mama. You too have a lot going on in life, but you want to do a few of the extras because, well, it seems fun. You will go through the No BS course and then you'll layer in a few of the extras like recorded calls inside the private member podcast as your calendar allows. And the last type of learner is our deep dive diva. You are excited to jump into all the things we offer. Anything we say is available. You'll be using it from the start. But I want to warn you, do not use everything at the sacrifice of taking the No BS weight loss course. Now, all three types of learners are just as good as the other. Whichever one speaks to you is going to be your best fit for your life. Now, don't forget, you're going to get emails each week with our suggested lessons to watch. Don't worry if your schedule doesn't jive with what we say. To stay organized, just watch a video, mark it as complete inside the website, and then the next time you log in, you'll know exactly where to pick back up. Your checklist can help you too. Again, I want you to just use as much or as little of our resources that allow you to stay on track with your weight loss. Now, the last thing I want you to do is grab a starting weight, picture, and baseline measurements. Now, if this sends you into a shit spiral right now, do not do it. This is not going to make or break your weight loss. Listening to the lessons and doing the four basics, that's where weight loss happens. But one benefit to starting data is that you can see your progress over time. You will have a time when the scale stalls, or you wish things would move faster. This starting data might be the exact thing you need to see in those moments for how far you've come so that you can remotivate yourself and keep going. Okay, I want you to take a moment and decide what kind of learner you will be inside of No BS. I want you to use your How to Get the Most Out of the No BS Program worksheet to write that down. And if you have any questions at all, please go to Ask Coaches, where you can submit your question, and within 48 hours, one of our No BS weight loss coaches will answer you. Ask Coaches is on the menu, clearly labeled for you. I'll see you in the next lesson.
All right. I do want to say this about the types of learners. There's been a couple of interesting comments in the chat. It is very seasonal. So like right now, I have a few things that I'm having to learn, and like I'm in a couple of courses, different things. And I am the base bottom line bitch for those. Like, I am traveling a lot. I cannot make any of the live calls. You know, like, I signed up for these courses knowing that I will never be able to go to these live calls. But literally one of the courses is at the exact same time that I teach in my business membership every single week. So it's like, not a big deal to me. I'm like, well, I got replays. I'm just going to listen to things on my own damn time. I'm just going to, like, I can 2x speed it if I need to, like, hustle through it. For all of you, we did a survey recently. I think it was either 5 or 10%. It was like a really low number. Our actual deep dive divas inside of No BS. But here's what I notice. A lot of you think you need to be one to lose weight. And the majority of our people who lose weight are not deep dive divas. That is your bullshit thinking. You can decide that whichever one you are is not good enough, or you can decide that whichever one you are makes things work better for you. Both will be equally true. Just as true. And then you have seasons. Like for me personally, I don't travel much in December. There's not much going on. Like all I'm doing is working in the memberships. I get to be more like, just like, you'll see me in the Facebook a lot. Like I love to be with y'all during the holidays. And that is a great time for me to be able to like do more in my courses. If I want to like do every fucking worksheet that they give me and stuff, I totally can during those times. All of you need to practice when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to self-care, when it comes to doing your No BS work, when it comes to everything, spending time with your children, spending time with your partner. There's these things called seasonality. And seasonality doesn't mean like 6 months at a time. Very often, if you look at the structures of your week or your months, you will notice you have periods where it's busier and you'll have a week or two where it's not. And the periods where it's busier, and then you'll have a week or two where it's not. Almost everybody has seasonality. To be able to lose weight requires you to be flexible in your thinking. When we think it's supposed to always happen one way, or well, I really should be spending more time with my children right now. Even though I was coaching someone the other day, one of the accountability groups who won a prize last month, I'm coaching their group. And one of the girls on there is in med school residency right now. She's literally doing 80 hours a week working. Her most painful thought is, I should be doing an equal part with my partner. Even though her partner has not one time told her that he's upset, he's the stay-at-home dad, like all these things. But in her mind, she's not considering the season she's in. Her part is getting through residency. Her part is not, you know, how many towels did she fold today? And how many minutes did she spend with her kids? Her part of being a mom is getting through residency so that the future for them is brighter. And then she will have some times where she might can spend more time, but we have to watch how we think. The biggest thing I see most of you do to like be overeating and not following your plan and stuff is because you do not have flexible thinking around your life. It's not just being flexible with your planning, flexible with your no BS work, flexible with like today I'm going to have to do timed eating. I don't get to wait for hunger. And you know, like that's not a thing today. But also like flexibility with how much time you spend with people and you don't spend with people. Flexibility is a key skill to success in anything. All right. I tell you what I want to do. We're going to keep watching the Q&A. I'm going to go ahead and play the next video. And then I am just going to answer questions like a maniac. So I want to go ahead and make sure we get the videos watched today. Y'all don't want to watch that one. I have got an extra one on here.
The first of the four basics of weight loss is the doable 24-hour plan. You see, most of us eat mindlessly from habit or based on how we feel. We aren't thinking before we eat, and that's the biggest reason why we're overweight. The doable 24-hour plan helps you design the relationship you've always wanted with food. By following the principles in this lesson, it won't be long before you'll start to feel in control of your favorite foods and free to eat things you love without repercussions. You see, old school dieting takes away foods you love without taking into consideration your wants, your likes, and where you are right now in your emotional life. The doable 24-hour plan, it does that. And it also helps you lose weight, including the foods you want and enjoy, but often have been taught are bad. I used to think to lose weight, everything had to be hard. It didn't occur to me that I could lose weight without so much struggle. The only form of dieting I knew was to take away all the things I loved and pray to God that I could last until I lost all my weight. It never worked. So I had to try something new. I got up each day and made a 24-hour plan based on what I could do that day with my eating. And as I got better at following through on my 24-hour plans, I noticed that what I could do each day was getting bolder, every day leaving me more and more confident to see what I could do the next day. So how do you make a doable 24-hour plan? It's simple. Write down what you will eat for the day right after you get your ass up and do it every day, no matter what. Now, it only takes 2 to 5 minutes. And then you're done thinking about food for the rest of the day, unlike all those diets where all you do is think about food.
Inside this lesson, you'll find the No BS 30-day planner filled with 24-hour plans for you to complete.
Now, if mornings aren't good for you, then do it in the evening. The key is to pick a time where you can think about what you want to eat. When making your plan, you will write down the foods you want to eat for the day, even if that's pizza and cheeseburgers. For example, if you grab a Snicker every afternoon, put that shit on your plan. If you are used to eating 3 meals a day and something sweet after dinner, put that shit on your plan. The goal is to plan realistically because we're practicing follow through on doing what you say you'll do in order to grow your confidence. Now you might be thinking, there's no way in hell I can eat what I want and lose weight. I like all the bad and all the junk foods, Corinne. Look, don't worry. I'll debunk bad foods in a later lesson, but for now, please trust me. You aren't overweight because you eat foods like that. It's the way you are eating them, by habit, without thinking, grabbing mindlessly, or in an attempt to solve emotions that food ain't ever going to fix. The doable 24-hour plan helps you pause in the moments you're grabbing food for the wrong reasons. It highlights moments you can start handling yourself different that right now you're missing. When you write your doable 24-hour plan, you'll also answer a couple of questions about what might get in your way and how you're going to handle it. This helps you think through the plan and make sure you're ready for the day. When you finish the plan, you should feel pretty confident that your food is all taken care of and that you don't have to worry about what you're going to be eating for the day, if it's okay to eat it, and all the other bullshit that we do around food. So why does the doable 24-hour plan work? Because it uses your reasoning brain around food. The reasoning brain thinks about your future, your goals, and what's best for you. It's also the part of the brain that makes logical decisions. And it's the part of your brain that in the moment when you want to do something and it knows you shouldn't, it's the part of your brain that can take over and say, what's important to you is what we're going to do. Unfortunately, most of us eat with the other part of our brain, the habit brain. It doesn't deal in logic. It operates on immediate wants and desires without thinking or giving a fuck about the big picture of life. This is why we clean our plate, grab candy out of candy dishes, or turn to food at night when we're tired. By creating a doable 24-hour plan, you use the reasoning part of your brain to plan your food, the part of your brain that thinks through your day, what your schedule looks like, and what you would like to eat at each meal. It helps you make rock-solid plans based in love, thoughtfulness, and confidence. Now, here's a few tips as you make your plans. First, start with a rock-solid question. Ask yourself, what can I do today? Instead of what most of us ask, what can't I eat today? No wonder you get so overwhelmed trying to figure out what to eat. We're only going to be putting things on the plan we can eat without a lot of bitching and moaning that we have to. Anything that feels too hard to do, I want you to save those foods for another day. After a few days or weeks of doing a little better, honoring your word, following your plan, I bet what seemed too hard a few days ago might seem worth a try in a future plan. Now, the first few weeks I was losing weight, I felt I needed my ice cream at night and didn't want to let it go. After a few weeks of doing what I could, I felt better about myself. And because I felt better about myself, I naturally wondered if I could do with a little less ice cream each night. Within a few months, I didn't need the nightly ice cream anymore. It was easy to let go of because I was starting to have success. Now, another tip is to think about how you're going to feel at each meal. For example, I know my dinner needs to be butt-ass tasty and fast because I work fucking hard every day. When it's time for dinner, I never have extravagant cooking plans. By making dinner really tasty and really fast, it keeps me from ordering Uber Eats where I'm exhausted, surfing menus, and thinking I deserve a treat. If you like options or spontaneity at your meals, start with planning a few things for each meal. Write 2 to 3 breakfast, lunch, and dinner options, and then decide at mealtime which one sounds best. This is not cheating. You're still thinking ahead while also giving yourself some flexibility. Now, sometimes you'll get invited to go out to eat last minute, so just make an equal swap with what you originally planned. The goal here is to look at what your intention was for the meal. If you were going to eat some grilled chicken, jasmine rice, and cheesy broccoli at home, then look for things on the menu that would be similar to your plan. You might order a nice steak since it's prepared like chicken, a baked potato in exchange for rice, and whatever vegetable that restaurant offers. That's called an equal swap because it's in alignment with your plan, even if there's different foods. And if you're lucky enough to have a partner who cooks decadent delights for your ass every night, first, be fucking grateful. This is not called a problem. This is called good fucking fortune that you have a tasty food prepared for you. All you got to do is show up and eat without stuffing yourself. You can talk to your partner about your new plan and work together on deciding ahead of time what you might be eating. Or just write whatever my partner makes and eat until my body feels satisfied. I'll teach you more about that in an upcoming lesson. Now, even with a doable plan, you're going to have moments where something sounds better. You might have to tell yourself, Snowflake, not today. You can have it tomorrow if you still want it. Remember, there's no food that's off limits. We only want to now be planning for all the things. Now, last, I want to warn you. You ain't perfectly going to follow your plan the first 90 days. Even with all the food, you won't own your plan. You're still going to want something different, have plans change, not be in the mood, or fuck it, eat because you're stressed. This is not a problem, and you'll still lose weight while we figure out your shit. Keep making the plans because they'll teach you a lot about your excuses and your triggers and your food habits. We'll take what you learn to fix the root of your overeating later. When we fix the root cause, guess what? You lose weight forever.
Okay, it's time to start the doable 24-hour plan. Print your planner and do it daily.
Make sure you mark this lesson complete so that you know where you are in the program. In the upcoming videos, I'll teach you how to make sure you aren't overeating while planning foods you love.
Okay. Sorry about that. You can tell when I don't talk for a little bit. Let's do some questions. Sorry. And I just drank the last of my water. Chris is not here. He's in Orlando. I have nobody to scream, go get me water. All right. For those of us who are very busy, can you talk about how to build the routine of planning and assessing? Very simply, when you are a really busy person, you give yourself 5 minutes to plan, 5 minutes to assess. Pick 5 minute pockets each day. I know busy people. I am one of those busy people. And I will tell you, anyone who thinks that they do not have 5 minutes, like this is the biggest problem I see with women. I don't have 5 minutes for myself each day. Well, then we need to restructure your life a little bit. If you can't find 5 fucking minutes, if that means you go to the bathroom, you grab your phone, you bust open a notes app, and it's like today's plan while you take a piss, then that's what you do. Those who want to do will do. Those who want an excuse will always find one lurking around the corner. I know I'm being hard on you, but y'all, I get busy woman syndrome. I run 3 businesses. And I got other shit I do too. Yeah, like unlike most of you, I like to have a personal life too. I know a lot of y'all really love like taking care of everybody and everything, and not me. I don't love doing that. You know what I love doing? Trying to figure out how to have some Corinne time. And it's not always easy. But you would never catch me saying, my life is so out of control, I can't find 5 minutes to figure out how to nourish myself. You know, sometimes when in life, when we are really busy and we have lots of things going on and stuff, we have to start seeing weight loss as self-care. Making a 5-minute plan to spend with you each day so that you know that you're meeting your basic nutritional needs, your food needs, that you don't fall off your goddamn list, that's called self-care. That's not a have to. That's not a burden. That's not like, you know, getting like one more brick in your load. To me, it's like, that's how I get on my list. If I need to wake up 5 minutes early, I will. And this was the biggest corrector I ever went. Like I was a martyr syndrome on being a busy person for years. When I worked back in my 20s, I worked for this restaurant company. I did work like 80, 90 hours a week. Most of it was on the road traveling, and they wouldn't pay for airline. So I was a young woman in a beater car. I remember one time my boss wanted me back in Nashville. I had been training restaurants nonstop for 7 days. This was a Sunday. All I wanted to do was come home and go to bed. I'd been getting up at 5 in the morning. I mean, and when I say get up at 5, I mean, I was at the restaurant to open it at 5 a.m. And then we had to close with them every night. We just basically slept and started over. We had to be there all day, every day. And then we would travel between stores. We were rolling out a menu. All I wanted to do was come home. That's all I wanted. And I get a call where he needs me back in Nashville for a meeting on Monday morning. And I am in South Florida. And I had to drive exhausted. I believe it was 17 hours straight just to make it. So I get being busy. I understand those things. Now, this was back in the day when I ate my face off. I would have given anything if back in the day I would have been planning my food, making sure I had water in the car, realizing I deserved a pee break. I didn't do those things back then. And that's why I weighed 250 pounds. It's why I stayed in and out of depression. Because I didn't even think that I deserved 5 minutes a day to think about me. Then the other thing that I realized, this was, I believe this was like an Oprah thing. Everybody has 20, like time, where I'm teaching y'all a big time class in October. Because a lot of you have asked, like, the hardest thing I have is being productive. Like, I feel like I'm busy. I'm overwhelmed with my life. Like, I literally need some, like, I need to learn how to organize my time a little better. Okay, so we're doing that in October. But one of the things that I teach in that class for y'all is that time is the biggest equalizer amongst all humans. It does not matter how much money you have. It does not matter your life. Everybody gets 24 hours a day, period. A lot of people spend 8 of them sleeping. A lot of them spend 8 of them working. And then a lot of people have an unaccounted for 8 hours a day. When you ask them, they're always busy. They can't tell you what they do and what they're like, what's going on in their life out of those 8 hours. Some of us only sleep 6. And we work 12. And we still have so many hours a day that when our brain keeps telling us we're too busy, we're too busy, we're so busy, we have no time, I would invite all of you to simply do a time study. Look for the moments that you're missing. Your weight loss does not happen in an afternoon spent listening to Corinne on a video. Your weight loss doesn't happen because you're spending an hour or two in the gym and the kitchen every day. Your weight loss is always going to happen in the minutes of the day. That 3 to 5 minutes you took to figure out what you're going to eat for the day and to tell yourself, I don't have to do this plan. I want to. I'm going to choose to. And I probably won't want to tonight. But the version of me that made this plan knows how tired we're going to be. And I just want to let her know, I made these decisions for us. I didn't make them against us. I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to exercise diet mentality. I literally was thinking about our best interests when I made it. And then when that time comes around and she feels like her day got away from her and she's too fucking busy for life, and that nothing's fair, and that she gets no time, I'm going to remind her, what you're fixing to eat is your time, and I planned for it. That when your life feels like it is out of control and in chaos, the one thing you have is the meal I planned for you. If that's self-care, then this is our self-care from now on. Self-care is no longer eating our face off and then feeling terrible about ourselves and telling ourselves we ain't got time for us anymore. That's not self-care. That's self-destruction, one bite at a time. That's the attitude we have to start having to make all of this work. All right, let's see what other questions we got. I don't know what to feel if I don't feel stuffed. What the hell? That's very normal. When you have been very disassociated from eating for a long time and all you've ever done is eat till full, your body naturally has acclimated to full is the feeling you want, and it's probably providing you with something. So I just want you to ask yourself, when I feel full, what do I also feel emotionally? Probably it's going to be, I feel safe. I feel like I got enough to rest, whatever that is. Then you have to ask yourself, if I was to eat less than full, what am I likely going to feel? For the majority of you, when you first start doing it, you're going to need to feel like it's unfair. You're probably going to need to feel wasteful a little bit because you're not going to eat as much as you've been eating. You might feel deprived. It's not that you're actually deprived. It's just that it just regurgitates a sense of deprivation because in the past, anytime you didn't eat to full, you probably were overly restricted, even though we're not doing that this time. You're probably going to need to feel really uncomfortable, restless, agitated. So for a lot of you, when you first start eating to enough versus full, it doesn't feel great. But we want to understand, because every one of those feelings comes from something we're thinking. And we need to be able to feel those things because we are not actually deprived. We are not actually restricting now. We're not actually being punished, because maybe we were punished when we were kids and food was withheld from us. And every time we try to lose weight now, guess what? We think we're being punished. We actually want to know these feelings that come up for us so we can go through the four N's that's in your planner so that you can write down, this is what I noticed I was thinking when I stopped it enough and it felt like crap. And then we want to understand, like, why might that be happening? Now, for a lot of you, if you don't know how to dig underneath it, this is when you go to Facebook. This is when you go to Ask Coaches. And you kind of plug in, this feeling doesn't seem to make sense. Like, it feels really intense. It feels really true. It feels like it's actually happening. But my logical side of my brain is like, I don't think we're actually being deprived. I mean, I just ate half a cheeseburger. Why am I feeling so deprived when I don't eat the other half? Like, sometimes we need those discovery worksheets and we need those four N's to do those later so we can have some perspective. But this is what I want to warn all of you. When those feelings come up, again, you cannot tell yourself, something's wrong with me. I'm not normal. I'm broken. If you do that, you are going to want to escape back into eating like you always did. Because if your mind has to choose between the threat of you being so ugly to yourself or the threat of just never losing weight, it will choose the threat of never losing weight. You're very used to that. You're very used to feeling down about that. But your brain will hedge against immediate danger. And if you're the biggest cause of the immediate danger, that's good news. Because if danger is outside of us, we can't always control. Like, if there's a hungry bear living outside your house, we can't control the hungry bear. But if you're inside just being a bear to yourself, we can control that. We can work on that. We can solve for that. So as you're doing the basics, especially stopping at enough and waiting for hunger, don't be shocked if some weird feelings come up. Don't be upset about it. Don't be down on yourself about it. This is intentional. This is supposed to happen because the version of you one day that has a very relaxed way of eating, who just eats like what you like, I just want to eat like normal people. I just, like, my thin friends never seem to be obsessed. They never seem to be doing these things. I want to be like that. The path to getting there is first figuring out where are the places right now that we've got to solve so that we can have that relaxed version of us. There's a couple of other questions I wanted to answer. If I do an equal swap, is this an off-plan eat? This is something I'm always unsure about. An equal swap, it depends on what you want to do. We have about 50% of our people love to consider it off-plan because they like to see that they can make equal swaps. They like to break down the thoughts behind it, and it feels very rewarding to say, like, my brain is shifting. Look at me. Now I can have flexibility with my plan, and look, I'm choosing things that are in alignment with weight loss. I'm choosing things that are going to get me to the goals I set for myself. Some people don't like to do that. For them, they're like, no, I want to consider this on plan, and that works better for me. So it depends on how you want to learn from it and how you best learn from it. Call it whatever you want. Just understand your reasons behind it. Corinne mentioned the importance of intentional eating. Can you elaborate on this? Yes, Dolores. Intentional eating just means before I eat, I know my reason why. And I like it. So intentional eating, let's say Aunt JJ comes today and she made a homemade strawberry cake with buttercream icing, which happens to be my favorite cake of all time. And she said, I just want to let you know, I hardly ever get to make these, but I made one for you. I know it's your favorite, blah, 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 blah. I would probably sit there and be really intentional. I would ask myself, okay, do I want to have a piece now? Do I want to have a piece later? Do I even want to have a piece? There may be a version, like, let's say I wanted to lose 10 pounds and I had like a goal of doing it in 3 months. And she brings it over as a surprise. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I love her so much. She thought of me, but I'm not eating it. Intentionality would be saying to JJ, I love that you made that cake. Like, I'm kind of got a goal right now. And it looks delicious. You are my favorite sister-in-law. But I'm not going to have cake. And then she may or may not get butt hurt, whatever's going to happen. Let's say she's just like, I'm so disappointed and blah, blah, blah. I would be just like, I know. I can see how much love you put into this. I'm a little disappointed too. But I really have this goal and I'm working hard on it. But girl, I know how much you love me. Like, I would just be like, yeah, I disappoint her a little bit. And I'm going to like react this way. I'm not going to like freak out and be all weird and all this other stuff. Intentionality could also be, I could have the same goal. I could sit there and say like, you know what? I really love Aunt JJ. I'm going to have a piece of cake. I'll have a few bites. I'll really enjoy it. She'll really enjoy that. I want to give her that gift. And I'm cool with it. I feel like I got plenty of time to lose the weight. I rarely ever do this. Like, intentionality is like thinking it through. It like being an intentional eater doesn't mean you always do X, Y, Z. Being an intentional eater is like really thinking it through. What is best for me? What's best for all of this? Sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes you're going to be A-okay with it. But being intentional just means you're thinking. That's it. Most of us just aren't thinking through things. It's like, if Aunt JJ brought my favorite cake over, this is what most of us do. Fuck, I'm never going to lose weight. And I don't want to hurt her feelings. It would be rude not to eat it. I better just eat a piece of cake. There was no thinking about like, how do I want to respond? What's best for me? There was like, intentionality is like kind of going through it and making agreements with yourself. So there's no right answer to whether or not you would eat cake. Let's see. I make a plan, but I find I'm hungrier than what I planned for. Do you stick to the plan or do you add food? I struggle with black and white thinking, a rule follower. Yeah, Deanna. So this is like where you've identified, like you're wanting a rule. I'm going to tell you kind of like how to think about it. But the only way for you to lose weight is to unbecome a rule follower. There are places in the world where rule followers, it's really good for you. Like if you are driving with your child in the back seat, it's great that you're a rule follower, that you're just not like, you know, fuck rules and the speed limit. Like I'm a rebel. Like there are times and places being a rule follower is good. Like if you're a baker, you kind of need to follow the rules. Like they have to weigh and measure shit or cakes turn out like bullshit. So what we have to do when we are a rule follower is we don't want to throw it all away. Being a rule follower is not a bad thing. There's just some places where being a rule follower is not needed as much. So you need to find in your weight loss, where are the areas where I can, like if you're a rule follower, where are the areas I'm going to create some rules that I like, that work for me, that help keep me on track. Use that as a strength for you. And then look for the areas where I'm looking for rules where there never can be one, where it's just a little more gray area. This is where I need to relax my rule following and increase my ability to be flexible, increase my ability to be intentional. So for example, if you're making a plan, but you find that you're hungrier than what you planned for, here's what I would do. And this is just the way Corinne likes to roll. I would add food, but I wouldn't add anything exciting. Like this is not like I'm going to go in there and add like a piece of cake because I'm hungrier than I thought I would be. But like, no, here's what I do. On days where I'm hungrier, here's some things that I choose from. Here's the types of foods I choose from. And here's the types of food that I know this isn't a hungry solution. This is an emotional solution. So if I'm like, ooh, today I feel hungrier. Chips will do. Snickers will do. I know I'm not having a hunger problem. I'm having an urge or a temptation. But on days where I'm hungry no more, I'm going to have like backup fruit, maybe nuts, whatever it is. And that's what I keep. And then I add that. And then after a few weeks, I'm going to really understand how to plan for my day to about the hunger levels that I normally have. And that's how I would do it. All right, everybody. We went a little long so I could get in the videos. I appreciate y'all's patience. Next, I will make sure I get my videos. At least now I know to be looking for my long hair. So that's always good. Y'all have a wonderful week. I will see y'all in about a week. I am going out of town and I'm going to be everywhere and anywhere. I'll be in the Facebook group, popping in, helping out with y'all in the comments and stuff. But y'all have an amazing week. Please double down on your basics. Take everything I said today to heart. Flexible thinking, intentionality. These are the undertones of following the basics, everyone. All right. Bye, y'all.